Hello, everybody. It's good to be here with you guys again. And who of you have been to the gathering yesterday? Just quickly by show of hands. Many of us. And I actually had a very deep encounter with the Lord yesterday. I was sharing with the elders a bit earlier this morning. You know, at the end of the sermon, there was a response for us to respond to the Lord in a different aspect or different ways. And Mervis, you guys remember Mervis? That was here a while ago. He brought a song which was actually a bit of a prophetic word for us, and that the old wineskin was a good season, but it won't be able to contain what the Lord's going to do as He sends His rain over us. And I just started weeping. I sobbed there. I couldn't even sing the words. Even were you? He was sitting next to me and he kind of wiped my tears away with his shirt, and I wiped his tears off, and we were just having a moment with the Lord, just encountering the Lord. And Johannri asked me afterwards, so what did the Lord do in your heart? And it was almost difficult to explain, but I just said, my heart is full of faith. I've encountered the Lord, I've encountered His presence, and my heart is full of faith. And isn't that what the Lord is looking for? I've got a question for you this morning. If the Lord Jesus Christ Himself were to walk through that doors this morning, what will He find in your heart? What will He find in your heart as He goes across the room to each individual? What will He find in your heart? Will He perhaps find a heart that is a bit cold or a bit lukewarm? Will He find a heart that's a bit offended? You know, these leaders or these people around me, maybe an offended heart. Will He find someone that's just attending church, but your heart isn't in it? What will He find in your heart this morning? I want to read a scripture in Luke chapter 18, and the title of my message is A People of Faith. There's a picture, A People of Faith. And I want to read in Luke 18, verse 8. Listen to this. I tell you, He will see that you get justice and quickly. Okay, here we go. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? So in a sense, He's saying that I'm coming back for the church, all right? I'm coming back for the world. And when I come, will I find faith in your life? Will I find anyone with faith? And I don't know if it's a bit of a, you know, like a rhetorical question, or almost asked in a negative way. Will I find anyone on the earth? Will I find anyone, at least one, with faith? And hopefully there are many. And just because you grew up in a Christian culture, just because you grew up with good values being taught to you, doesn't mean there is a life of faith. You get what I'm saying? I grew up in a very traditional church background, and my parents taught me very good values, and I'm thankful for it. But there was a day where I actually had to surrender my life to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't believe in my own ability anymore. I'm trusting in You now. And so when the Lord returns, will He find faith? Where is your heart this morning? And I want to say that being faithful doesn't mean you have faith. Being faithful doesn't mean you have faith. In Josh Jen, which I'm really grateful for, is we are kind of in different community groups, home groups or whatever you want to call it. We call it community groups. And every Sunday, we get an opportunity to serve on a Sunday morning. Like these chairs that you're sitting on, it didn't just appear, you know, this morning. Someone had to pack it. Someone had to set up the sound. And there's different ways we can serve. And in a sense, we can so easily be faithful with our job or our serving or our duty. But in the heart, is there still faith? Is there still an expectation to meet with the Lord on mornings like this? Or do we just tick the boxes? And I'm kind of being vulnerable this morning. Often, I come to a Sunday morning and my heart isn't full of faith. I've gone through many things in my life where I struggled with my faith. Where Sunday mornings often is a box that I tick and I had to prepare, and it's a bit of a job. But is that the heart Jesus is looking for? He wants a people of faith. And so this morning I want to briefly share on where we are tracking at the moment as a church going through the book of Joshua. Hopefully your voice has recovered from last week as we shouted to the Lord. You know, Richard looking at Joshua and the Israelites walking around the walls of Jericho and just seeing what the Lord has done with that group of people. And this morning I want to briefly continue, and then I'm going to give us an opportunity to respond at the end, bringing our hearts before Him. And if you're anything like me that's often struggling with faith, this morning is an opportunity to bring your heart to Him. Say, Lord, come and help me. Come and help me. It's not something that I want to do in my own strength. And so God gave Joshua clear commands to walk around the walls of Jericho. And for 7 days, once every day, go around the city, go around the wall. And on the seventh day, do it seven times. They got their steps in that last day. Eh? I don't know if they are on vitality or trying to get points or whatever. But they had to get their steps in. But there were clear instructions. God said, you march around the walls, you keep silent, and then I'll tell you, and then you shout. And there were clear instructions just on the way they had to do it. And I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. It must have been quite daunting, you know? And it's not a small city. It must have been quite daunting, actually, to do this, knowing that there's an enemy behind these walls and God said we should do this. I can just imagine by probably the fifth day, some of them are like, shush, is this even working? Did I do it right the last few days? Is this really God? Is this really what He said? Maybe some of them got discouraged. Maybe some of them got tired. Maybe some of them lost some expectation of what God said initially. And I can imagine on the seventh day, listen, this is the last day now. Something needs to happen. For 6 days, nothing happened. Now we are on the seventh day. We need to do this seven times. Imagine on lap number five. Jeez, eh? Time's running out. God, time is running out. You almost want to grab hold of it yourself, you know? I could just imagine what they had to go through. All the doubts that probably crept in. But this is what they did. God said, and they obeyed. God said, and they obeyed. And it's a beautiful lesson for us this morning. That often God will say something. We need to be a people of obedience and faith, trusting in His timing. Because often when things are taking a bit longer than what we wanted to take, what do? Okay, Lord, at first I said, Lord, you take the wheel, but now, okay, maybe you can get into the passenger seat for this next part of the journey. I've got it from you. Thank you so much. I know where to go, but I'll take it from you. But God is looking for a people of faith. Will we be a people of faith? Yeah, in Josh Jen, Somerset West. Is that a yes? All right. One of those rhetorical questions, you know what I mean? And so, let's look at faith. What does faith mean? And I've got an illustration for you this morning. This is a plastic chair which all of you are sitting on. And so, I can tell you a lot about this chair. Can you guys see it at the back? It's just a plastic chair. I can tell you a lot about this chair. I can tell you how it's made. I actually did some research. I'm not going to bore you with it. But this is quite intentionally built specifically for this. There's many different just processes it had to go through. I can tell you the type of material. I can tell you the purpose of it is actually to sit on it. And can I tell you, I've been on the earth for long enough to know and believe that if I sit on it, it will carry me. It will hold my weight. I believe it. Every now and then, you know, you get a chair that, oops. And that's probably, you know, from last year's Christmas lunch. But anyway, this chair can hold my weight. But can I tell you that just knowing all about it, this is not faith yet. This is knowledge. This is knowledge and information about the chair. Even though I believe what it's supposed to do, I believe what the purpose of it is, it's not faith until I actually go and sit on it. Yo, I was hoping the chair will hold my weight. That is faith. Completely throwing your weight on it. And for us as Christians, isn't that the case with Jesus? We can know a lot about him. We can share a lot about him. Even believing that he is good is a good thing, yes. But is it faith? Faith is you actually leaning your whole life onto Jesus so that he can carry you. That is faith. You know, and this is not faith. Let me show you this picture. If you're listening online, I'm putting one bum on the edge of the seat and then most of my other weight is still on my right leg. So that, what if the Lord doesn't come through? What if the Lord doesn't come through? Then I can catch myself. That's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is, Lord, I'm leaning my whole life onto you. I know you can carry me. I know your heart is good. And you don't want me to fall. You experience the Lord even in this very moment, just realizing that that is the heart that he is looking for, a people of faith. And I'm not here to hold myself up. I'm here to throw myself actually onto him. And so I want to share one or two points just on faith, being a people of faith. And looking at Jericho, that whole city was destroyed. Nothing was left of it. And then years later, it was rebuilt actually. And then you see this man called Bartimaeus. Have you ever heard about my brother B, Bartimaeus? Have you heard about him? I want to read a story quickly of Bartimaeus. He was a blind beggar, and we read about him in Mark chapter 10. And so they reached Jericho, and later as Jesus and his disciples left town, a great crowd was following. And there was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. Do I even pronounce that correctly? Bartimaeus. And he was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. And when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then the others around him said, "Hey, be quiet. Be quiet. You're foolish. You're making a fool out of yourself. Be quiet." But he only shouted louder. I'm not going to shout even louder. My voice is not going to last. "But Son of David, have mercy on me." He was shouting, trying to get God's attention. And when Jesus heard him, he stopped. He caught God's attention. He caught Jesus' attention. He said, "Tell him to come here. Tell him to come to me." And so they called the blind man and said, "Hey, yo, come, cheer up. Come, he's calling you." And he went to Jesus. And Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up. Listen, he's blind, eh? Remember this, he's blind. He threw aside his coat, he jumped up, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him this question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "I want to see. I want to see." How many blind people are there? Their eyes are open. They're looking at stuff, but they're blind. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." And instantly the blind man could see. And this was his response. And then he followed Jesus down the road. What a beautiful story of a man called Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus, but he believed in him. He had faith in him. He cried out to him. He called out to him. And then God stepped in and he healed him. And so his faith actually caught the attention of God. And that's my point that I want to leave with you this morning, is that your faith can actually catch the attention of Jesus. Do you know that? Your faith can catch the attention of Jesus. And this is what the world is saying. Have you heard this before? Seeing is believing. You know, and I think there's a healthy skepticism about it, but we are living in a culture where you are instantly at a place of mistrust or distrust. You already think the worst about everybody you meet just because of sin, actually, and a lot of things that happens with us. And now we take that value into our walk with the Lord. Seeing is believing. We actually, that's so unbiblical. The way of the kingdom, the way of Jesus is believing is seeing. Having faith in the Lord. Lord, I can't see. Bartimaeus, he couldn't see, but I believe in you. And the Lord gave him sight in the natural. But how many of us can see in the natural, but spiritually, we can't see. We're blind. And if you're going to wait until you see and then you can believe, I don't know if that's faith. That is like sitting with one bum on that chair and keeping the rest of your weights, just keeping the back door open. Keeping the back door open. Isn't that what many of us do? And I've done that many times. Where the Lord is like, close the back door. Do you trust me completely? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. Listen to this. This is why, is that the right word? Let me read it out of this translation here. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Might have given you the wrong one there. We walk by faith and not by sight. How do you walk your Christian life? Is it by sight or is it by faith? And this man, Bartimaeus, it's a beautiful story and a beautiful testimony as we look back at it. But those people around him, listen to their response. Stop crying out to the Lord. Be quiet. You're foolish. And can I say that often faith seems foolish at first. And often faith will first look foolish until it looks fruitful. So don't let the people around you determine your faith levels. Don't let people around you stir up doubt or discouragement in you. We want to be a people of faith. Are you guys still with me? My voice is a bit iffy. At the worship time yesterday at the gathering, I was going for it, and halfway through I realized, oh my goodness, I'm still preaching tomorrow. I'm not going to make it. And then my last point. Faith isn't in an outcome. It's in a person. Faith isn't in an outcome. Faith is in a person. True faith isn't in what God does or doesn't do. It's in who He is. It's in who He is, His very character, the truth that He is a good God, the truth that He is a faithful God, a trustworthy God. And often we don't have that experience because of whatever reason. It doesn't change the fact that He is good. It doesn't change the fact that He is trustworthy. He is a good God. Even in the story of Daniel, oh, what a beautiful book, the book of Daniel. You see these three guys. What's their names again? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right, thanks for teaching me. You see these three guys that are thrown in the fiery furnace, and they were supposed to bow down to their gods, and this is their response. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. This is the God we serve, man. He is the God of the impossible. He can do anything. More than what any human can do. This is the God we serve. And then this is part of their response. But even if He doesn't, I will not bow. It will not change the fact that my faith is in trustworthy God. He's able, but even if He doesn't, what's it to me? It's not my decision on how my life should be. Imagine Job kicks up against Jesus. Hey, why did you give me this life? What's it to you? What if God wants you to have a life of Job? Even in the city of Somerset West? Will you kick against God? Or will there be a response, He's able. But even if He doesn't, my life is in His hands. My life is His. Because my faith isn't in an outcome. It's in a person. And I want to share a testimony and a story of of our life, of our lives, Yandre and I. We got married about 10 years ago, and we decided we wanna just start having kids. And you know, we were trusting the Lord and we were praying, and for about 5 years, we for some reason just didn't fall pregnant. And I mean, there were different scenarios, and we went to doctors and we've done many tests, and we're just kind of trying to figure out, Lord, why aren't we falling pregnant? And finally, Yohanri fell pregnant. It was such a joy for us. It was such an excitement, and we were so, yes, thank you, Lord. And a few weeks later, on Christmas Day, we actually lost our baby. We lost our baby. Being with a whole bunch of family members, and there's the boats are on the water, and we're just having a nice day. We lost our baby, and it was painful. And I know I'm not saying that this is the worst experience. It was tough for us, and I know all of you are going through different things yourself. But for us, it was a painful experience. It was disappointing. It was actually confusing. Trying to figure out, Lord, why? Trying to make sense of it, because that's how we think. Eh? We are intellectual beings. We want to know the why. And our faith was deeply challenged. To be honest, our faith was deeply challenged. And Isel, who is a deaconess in our church, she's not here this morning. She's with family in Bloom, and she probably wouldn't remember it, but she gave us a word about a year before that experience. And this was a word. Our trust should be in what is in God's heart and not just what's in His hand. And when that thing happened with us, we were reminded of that word, trust what is in His heart and not just what's in His hand. And we were grappling through it. Like, Lord, help us. Help us. All the emotion, all the anticipation and, you know, excitement, and suddenly you just feel like you're hitting rock bottom. And our faith was deeply challenged, but can I say that our faith wasn't destroyed at all? It was challenged, but it wasn't destroyed. Our faith actually deepened through that experience by the grace of the Lord. And this is why, because we had faith in a person, not faith in an outcome. Faith in who He is, a God that His plans are for us, with a good heart. A trustworthy God that we follow. Not in whether He gives or He takes away. Because in this life, let's be honest, think about your own life. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Sometimes we throw things away. But the point is, we're living in a sinful world. We're living in a sinful world. It's a broken world. But one day, He'll come back for us as His people. There will be no tears anymore. All the disappointment, all the pain, all the confusion will be wiped away, and we'll see Him face to face. But until then, can we be a people of faith in a person, not in an outcome? Because all of us are trusting the Lord for things, right? When you pray, when you go into a quiet time with Him, you are trusting the Lord for different outcomes. Make sure that your faith isn't in that outcome, but your faith is rooted in the very person and nature of Jesus Christ. And whether it comes through, whether I'm burnt up in the fiery furnace or not, who cares? My faith is in a person, and I know what my eternity is going to be like. Faith that is real often is tested first. Faith in a person. And this is the God that we serve. And I'll end with the scripture in Psalm 136, verse 23. He remembered our utter weakness. How often do we feel weak? How often do we feel weak in front of Him? But His faithful love endures forever. He saved us from our enemies. His faithful love endures forever. He gives food to every living thing. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. The Israelites had to trust God. While they're walking in obedience, while they keep their eyes focused on what God has said, they had to believe. They had to trust Him. And the Lord did a miracle. When last did you see a supernatural move of God? When last did you pray for someone and someone got healed? We need to trust God for those things. And I want to end with this. Often we think the opposite of faith is doubt, right? What's the opposite of faith? Some would say fear and doubt, and yes, definitely true. But I often think that the opposite of faith is self-reliance. I can do this myself. Thank you, Lord, but no thank you. We won't say that bluntly because we know the right things to say, right? But in our hearts, thank you, Lord, but no thank you. Or thank you, Lord, but whoa, that's a bit too much. We want to keep half our body off the chair. Where faith is, I'm fully in. My whole weight is on you. Faith is, I can't, Lord, but you can. You are the God of the impossible. And some of us, I think the Lord has spoken words over your lives and you've given up. You've lost hope because it hasn't come to pass yet. It hasn't come to pass yet. And it's easy to lose faith. It's easy to lose hope because it doesn't fit our framework of how we see things should play out, right? It doesn't fit our timing. The Lord is in control. The Lord is a sovereign God. This life is but a vapor. It feels long for us, but it's a drop in a bucket. It's a drop in the ocean. 70, 80 years or whatever feels long. And especially some of the younger people, it feels like you've got your whole life in front of you. And we should be excited about life, yes. But this, in context of eternity, it's a very short experience, actually. But there's a day coming where He's coming back for a people of faith. What will He find? What will He find among us? When He walks through that door, will He see Richard, a man of faith? The other Richard, a man of faith. Skulk, a man of faith. Amri, a woman of faith. What will He find when He comes to judge the living and the dead? What will He find? Will He find faith in this earth? Will He find a people that's devoted to Him and to His ways? Saying, it's not about me. Even if I burn up in this fiery furnace, I don't care. My faith is in a person of Jesus. That is a people of faith.